Welcome to a special edition of Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's Politics Podcast. I'm Fraser Nelson. Sweden's immigration experiment is being watched world over. It's taken in more asylum seekers per capita than any other country in the world. But as it struggles to integrate, new problems are emerging, specifically the emergence of a small and violent criminal underworld. The journalist Paulina Nuding writes about it for the magazine this week, and she joins me now. Paulina, we've known for a while that Sweden's had its problems, but you write this week about something quite new, these grenade attacks, which are now taking place in suburbs of Stockholm, Gothenburg and Malmö. What's going on?
Well, it's like you said, it's an entirely new phenomenon for us. 2 weeks ago, for instance, we had 3 hand grenade attacks in 1 week. The last explosion we had was 2 days ago. So this is something that occurs pretty much every week now.
And also read from your piece, it's not very difficult to get hold of a hand grenade in Sweden. I would have thought they would be incredibly difficult to come by in any country that's not at war.
Well, they come to Sweden from the Balkans, where they are plentiful after the wars. And they're cheap when you buy them there. You can even get them as freebies when you buy assault rifles. And there are lots of them in Sweden. And the thing about explosives is once you have them, you don't want to keep them in the kitchen. You want to use them, right? So the police now say it's a trend among criminals to use hand grenades.
Right. And we're talking here about the new, relatively new phenomenon of criminal gangs, predominantly immigrant criminal gangs.
Yes.
Right. Now, this is something which, you know, if we were having this conversation in the Swedish media, you would not phrase it that way, would you? Because the Swedes are quite reluctant to discuss in clear terms what the problem is.
This is an incredibly sensitive topic in Sweden. When these things are discussed in the news and in the public debate, there is talk of a failed integration, but usually not immigration. So it's being discussed as a big social problem, as a problem of integration, but usually not as something that has to do with Sweden's migration policy.
All right. And over the last 3 years, I think Sweden has taken on per capita far more, I think twice as more immigrants as the next biggest country. Sweden sees itself as a humanitarian superpower. This is very much part of Sweden's self-image. But so why is there such a problem with integration then? Because if you take in as many people, you ought to have a policy for making sure that they can settle down happily into the rest of the country.
Well, it all boils down to numbers and just the fact that Sweden has taken in so many immigrants. And it's simply hard to integrate hundreds of thousands of newcomers every year.
And integrate them, I guess, in the workplace as well. I was seeing some figures that the unemployment rate amongst immigrants in Sweden is far higher than that for natives. And I think that the gap between the two is worse in Sweden than in almost any other country in the developed world.
And this has to do with Sweden's very regulated labour market. So this has to do with Sweden's economic and social system as well.
Right. So you're saying that there's no official minimum wage in Sweden, but there is a de facto minimum wage. And are you saying that these regulations are creating problems for immigrants integrating, and that is leading them to live in zones marked by unemployment and crime?
Definitely. And that's been a criticism that's been raised by economists for years, that the Swedish job market creates an insider-outsider problem where insiders are protected but outsiders can't get into the labour market.
Right. And how are the police coping with this? This is a very new challenge for the police force of any country. I mean, you're looking at a new form of crime, a violent form of gang warfare. It would require very different tactics.
Exactly. And Sweden has been famous for it. Soft approach on crime. The police confront criminals or deal with the criminals in very understanding terms. And that is a problem for a country with this kind of violence. I mean, if you have hand grenade attacks, you can't send out the dialogue police. There is actually a dialogue police force in Sweden that you send out when there's social unrest. You can't really send them out to deal with hand grenades. So this is also an identity crisis for the Swedish police and for Swedish authorities. how do we deal with a much more confrontative, aggressive type of crime?
And also, I read in your piece that you were speaking to somebody from the ambulance trade union. He was saying that there are areas where his members feel that they cannot enter, this is the ambulance, without some kind of protection, because they, the ambulance workers, might be subject to attacks from the gangs.
Exactly. That's Gordon Gratich, who is the head of the paramedics union. He's a very brave man for saying that openly, for actually speaking of no-go zones openly, because it's tremendously controversial in Sweden to even mention no-go zones. But paramedics are not alone in this. The same thing goes for firefighters. The same thing goes for even mailmen and librarians working in these areas. That sometimes, or there are parts of Sweden where there's no delivery of packages, for instance, because it's too dangerous for mailmen to go. I've covered a number of cases where libraries have been forced to close temporarily because of harassment from gangs. So it's a huge problem.
Can you say a bit more about how this problem is discussed in Sweden? Because if there, you know, I'm trying to think in Britain, if there were people being killed by hand grenades in Birmingham, for example, I imagine it would be a matter of national shock. In Sweden, you're saying people are almost inured to this, that you pick up a newspaper, you might read in, you know, page 405 that somebody was executed at point blank range in Malmö town square. I mean, that's an example that I read in the papers when I arrived in Sweden this time last year.
Exactly.
So there must be political pressure for people to change this, because this is not the Sweden that Swedes or the rest of the world know. This sounds like something very different indeed.
So I mentioned that there was an explosion in Malmö 2 days ago. I don't think this is a top headline even in the national news. This is just an everyday occurrence now. And of course, this is something that worries people a lot. And it has indeed created strong political pressure. And I mentioned in my piece as well that Stefan Löfven, the prime minister, even raised the idea of sending in the army to these areas to deal with this type of crime.
Yeah, that sounds a bit bizarre, because you go for ages not wanting to talk about the problem.
Exactly.
Then you say something as dramatic as send in the army. Mm. So what on earth was he talking about, and how did that go down in
Sweden?
And
he retracted that within days as well, so because it was so sensitive and because the reactions were so strong. So this sort of wavering from the government shows that politicians have absolutely no idea how to deal with this. They don't know how to deal with it.
Now, if the government doesn't know how to deal with it, and the opposition doesn't know how to deal with it, does this fuel support for populists like the Sweden Democrats?
Oh, definitely. Crime has definitely, I don't want to say helped the Sweden Democrats, but it's definitely a reason for people to vote for them. Now, slowly, the moderate party is beginning to speak about this issue in more realistic terms than they used to. The former head of the moderate party, Fredrik Reinfeldt, former prime minister, claimed for many years that crime is on its way down in Sweden and that there's a positive development, which obviously no one believes. So slowly things are changing, but it's definitely been helpful for the populist, or the anti-establishment party, the Sweden Democrats.
Right. But this has been going on in Sweden now. I mean, rather concerned about immigration for quite a number of years. I remember about 2 or 3 years ago reading about asylum centres being burnt down by protesters, which again, if it happened in Britain, would be completely shocking if we thought any place intended for refugees would be burnt down. And this was happening, I think, in about 12 or 13 places in Sweden. So I'm wondering
last week, I think.
Right. So how much more serious does it need to be before the government or the opposition will start talking frankly about a problem that must be a real concern to millions upon millions of Swedes?
Well, as I mentioned, it's incredibly painful for the Swedish political establishment to admit that they've made a mistake when it comes to immigration, that not just that immigration in itself has caused lots of problems, but that tensions in society are rising. But, you know, we have elections later this fall, and crime will definitely be a huge issue in the election. It will be impossible to avoid.
And how do you see this ending, Paulina? I mean, Sweden does have a reputation of successfully integrating immigrants over the years. I mean, my wife's parents, for example, they were refugees from the Soviets. They came to Stockholm and they settled very happily in Sweden, which is why I'm so interested in the subject myself. So Sweden historically has managed to integrate, but if it's taking on the sheer numbers now that any country would struggle to integrate, what will have to happen? I mean, do you think the election will be a catalyst for a new conversation and some new policies about how to handle those who are already in Sweden?
I think the main catalyst is the situation when it comes to crime. These explosions every week, it's something, I mean, it's obvious to the voters that things are not going well. One positive thing is that the moderate party has begun slowly to speak of the problem in realistic terms. So hopefully we'll have a more realistic conversation about this.
And Paulina, you're one of the journalists in Sweden who has been quite pioneering in your frankness of which you've discussed the problem. Have you found it difficult as a journalist to talk about this because your fellow Swedes don't like it being mentioned?
Mm. Well, in my case, I guess I'm helped by the fact that I'm a daughter of refugees as well. My parents came to Sweden from Poland as refugees. But, you know, I've been accused of all sorts of things and called all sorts of things. But if I wasn't interested in writing or speaking the truth, I would choose a different job.
Okay, Paulina, great to have you with us today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
Now you can read her article in the new edition of The Spectator, to which you can subscribe for just £1 a week on spectator.co.uk/pod offer. Thanks for listening, and thanks to Nick Hilton, who produced this podcast.